Tonight's Bible passage is Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, and it's on the Church Bible 968 to 969. It's Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen.
Good to have you here this evening, and you've probably seen these green fans we include around the church building, and you feel free to use them to fan yourself or fill them in if you're new to Highfields, and you can, once you're done with them for the fanning and you go outside in the cool, just leave a little card for us and we'll keep in touch that way. We're in Matthew 5. It's on page 968 in these church Bibles, and we've got plenty of these Bibles, and it'd be really handy to have it open in front of you if you can possibly do that. We're today concluding this famous series of studies, this famous paragraph of the Bible, this beginning of a sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, these Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we're wrapping them up tonight, it's important for us to remember, just as we look back on the Beatitudes which we've been studying over the last, over the summer really, that the Beatitudes are not a test for how good a Christian you are, like a magazine test or a Facebook internet poll that asked you a bunch of questions, and if you score between 6 and 8 Beatitudes, you're a really sound Christian. If you score between 3 and 5 Beatitudes, you're kind of so-so, and 1 to 2, dear, things aren't looking so good for you. That's not how we're to understand the Beatitudes. Rather, all Christians are to be growing in all of these areas throughout our Christian lives. And tonight, we finish where we started. So if you've got your Bibles open, you should see that verse 10 is actually quite a lot like verse 3. The end of the Beatitudes is very similar to the beginning of the Beatitudes. So verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then at the end of the Beatitudes, blessed, verse 10, are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now in both instances, at stake is a passport for the kingdom of heaven, entry into the kingdom of heaven. And there couldn't be a more important topic to be thinking about on a sticky Sunday evening. I'm so glad you're here. I didn't know whether anyone was going to be here this evening, honestly, as I was preparing. I think this is the Lord's way of getting us used to the autumn and, celebrating the arrival of the autumn. Normally we're sad when the summer's over, but now we're going to be very glad when this week is over, aren't we, as the week kicks in. But let's think about summer holidays. I was chatting to a friend of mine not long ago who was going on holiday with his family to France this summer. And ferry tickets had been bought and cases had been packed and car had been loaded, alarm clock set, and Dad is in the home office the night before just printing out the paperwork and realised that one of his son's passports was out of date. Oh, nightmare. Total nightmare. Can't go on holiday. So And this isn't me. This isn't a kind of a friend of mine. It's actually me. No, you know when I've mucked up in travel before. This is someone else mucking up in travel. Anyway, wife and children go off to France, and all appointments in Newport are taken for the next few days. They end up travelling from the south all the way up to Liverpool to get a 24-hour passport, turn around in time, eventually expensive tickets bought, and dad and son catch up with the rest of the family. If getting your passport for France is really important, then the stakes could not be higher being clear on your passport for heaven, for the kingdom of heaven. That surely is the big one. And nothing is bigger than getting your passport for the kingdom of heaven. Now, verse 3 began the Beatitudes by saying that the passport is to be poor in spirit. And back at the start of the summer, we saw how that means you need to know that you can contribute nothing to your salvation. You don't bring anything to the party other than sin and disqualification to enter heaven. All you bring is emptiness, unworthiness, poverty of spirit. And if you have that, and your hands are open, and you're not saying, okay, God, let me into heaven because of this and this and this and this, I can bring to the party. No, it's, God, I have nothing to bring to the party. My hands are open. I'm empty. I've got nothing to give. I'm broken in my spirit. Ah, the passport is for someone like that into the kingdom of heaven. So that's how we began. Well, verse 10 gives us another vital perspective on entry into the kingdom of heaven. And I have to say, as I was allocated this by the team, and I've been praying about it, I've been thinking, actually, this has been something that I feel the Lord has really been speaking to me about over the last few months here at Highfields. I'm going to read out all of our section. We're going to focus on verse 10, but we're going to run through to verse 12 as well. So Numi read the whole passage. Let's just reread these verses again. So verse 10 to 12 of Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'm not going to keep us very long this evening. We're going to see three things briefly. We're going to see the reality and the cause and the blessing of Christian persecution. The reality, the cause, the blessing of Christian persecution. That's our structure. Here's our first point. The reality of persecution. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. So, we'll take the first clause of verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. This is not going to be a very easy message to preach, and I doubt it would be a very easy message to hear. But it's a crucial one to hear. It's absolutely vital that we hear this message, like it was vital that we heard the message earlier on in the summer from John 12. It lines up very similarly with the message in John 12 that Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. And if you remember, we did an all-age service. Ricky was leading us, and we were thinking about being the first to be last. And that is the calling to follow Jesus. We need to be the first to be last. I think that is what lies behind Jesus speaking here. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. Now, I'm sorry if that's breaking news to you and no one has said that to you before. It's quite easy, isn't it, to leave that kind of thing out of our message. I remember years ago talking with someone about the Christianity Explored course. And we were discussing how very easy it would be to leave out the hard stuff and just say the come to Jesus and have your life made right. Yes, and there's a cost. There's a dying to self. There's a grain of seed, a kernel of seed that needs to go into the ground and die. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. It's very easy when we're sharing the gospel. I don't know whether you share the gospel very often. It's quite hard to do. But if you do ever have a go at trying to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's one thing to say, I'm a Christian. It's another thing to say, I'm a Christian. Can I explain to you how you might become a Christian and go through a bit of the gospel? Brilliant. It's another thing to say, if you were to follow Jesus, you would need to die. That's pretty hard to say, isn't it? That's pretty hard to say that blessed are those who are persecuted. That anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, Paul said to his young protege Timothy. Roll up, come and follow Jesus, come and die, he says. It's a pretty hard thing to say, it's what he says. Stand with me in a world that hated me and persecuted me, says Jesus, then don't be surprised if it hates you too. Let me read out some words that were said by the theologian Carl Truman over 10 years ago. I think I've quoted him before, but these repay thinking about. Let me read them to you. You really do kid only yourselves if you think that you can be an Orthodox Christian and be at the same time cool enough and hip enough to cut it in the wider world. Frankly, in a couple of years, it will not matter how much urban ink you sport, how much fair trade coffee you drink, how many craft brews you can name, how much urban gibberish you spout, how many art house movies you can find that Redeemer figure in, and how much money you divert from gospel preaching to social justice. Maintaining biblical sexual ethics will be the equivalent in our culture of being a white supremacist. Now, you may not like some of that language, but that's strong language. And he said that over 10 years ago. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. So I simply want to pause and ask you, are you ready for it? Are you in? Seriously, are you in? Are you prepared for it? Anything for a quiet life, is that you? Keep my head down, is that you? Blend in with the crowd, is that you? It's so tempting to be me. I don't want to look too weird. The reality of persecution. Point one, and by the way, this has been the way since the early church. Maybe you can remember these famous words from Acts 5:41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, they'd been preaching, and then they were thrown in prison for what they'd done, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching, proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Let out from prison, didn't escape, they let out. They were let out after having been beaten and thrown in prison because of preaching the gospel. Go out, day one, they carry on preaching. Incredible readiness to suffer for following Jesus. Now, of course, in that quote from Carl Truman, we're talking a little bit about persecution. But there is a kind of persecution around the world today that far, far outstrips anything that we are currently facing here in the UK. And we sometimes talk, don't we, about places like North Korea, or Pakistan, or Yemen. I don't know if you know this, but one of the largest Christian populations in the world happens to be one of the most dangerous places to be a Christian in the world. Do you know that? Anyone know the country I'm talking about? One of the largest Christian populations and one of the most dangerous places to be a Christian. Anyone know? Nigeria. I think I heard it over there. Nigeria is the place. 48% Christian. And yet, on average, a conservative estimate is that around 14 Christians a day are being martyred for their faith. 14 every single day being murdered for following Jesus. And I was talking to one of our church members, Joseph Sunday, who's a Nigerian. And I was chatting to him earlier today, and I kind of wanted to cross-check my facts about Nigeria. He said that when he was a child, he's from the north, which is where lots of persecution is happening. He said when he was a kid, it was about 60-40%. 60% Christian, 40% Muslim, but they now think it's kind of more like the 48-50% each. And that number of 14 Christians being martyred for their faith every year, he said that's a very, very conservative estimate. And as a child, he saw churches being burned, and church leaders being terrorized. And well worth getting to know Joseph and Denise Sunday. They're church members, and we're going to have a little conversation with them one Sunday evening, just talking about what it's like to be a Nigerian Christian here in the UK, knowing what's going on back at home. We do need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We will do a little bit later on in our service. Also, something to look forward to later on in the autumn. I think it's on the 22nd of October, where we've got a Mission Sunday. We've got a mission speaker in the morning, Michael Press from UFM. In the evening, we're putting on something called Secret Church, which is being run for us by Open Doors, which is a Christian charity that supports the persecuted church. And they do this in different places. They did this at Word Live, and we thought we'd invite them to do this at Highfields. But we'll have a speaker who I think is coming to us from Iraq, and he's going to be sharing with us. But the Secret Church team from Open Doors will be leading the service, and they will do the service like it's a secret church in a closed country. So we'll sing, but we'll sing quietly. And we'll do it to candlelight. And it will be kind of, I think, quite a powerful experience of what it's like to stand with our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. So that's our first point, the reality of persecution. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. It's very, very hard to follow Jesus in other places. It's a challenge here in the UK too. So blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And that's our second point. So where does this persecution come from? And that's our second point, the cause of persecution. Expect a hard time for living the way Jesus lived. Expect hard times for living the way Jesus lived. This is very important to be clear on, and the New Testament actually spells it out for us. Jesus is not talking about any kind of persecution, any kind of hard time that you can have because you're a Christian. Because it might be that you're an annoying Christian, or a judgmental Christian, or a hypocritical Christian. And because of the way you're being, people are treating you negatively. That is possible. In fact, the New Testament imagines it might be possible. So here's 1 Peter 2. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. This is not, we're not talking about suffering because you've been an idiot. Well, here's 1 Peter 4. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. It's important to remember those passages because it is very possible and sadly very contemporary for Christians to give Christ a bad name and to get it in the chin because of that. And I don't know if you follow the news, but it's possible to bring all manner of offense to the world that is already wired to be opposed to Jesus because of the awful behavior of Christians. And it happens. And it happens in almost every denomination. I'm not picking one denomination out. You may have seen in the last week another Christian leader, front page of the newspapers and the BBC website, falling from grace. And it's heartbreaking if you've ever known a Christian leader and you've had that sense of loss, then please do, by the way, have a word with us. We'd love to walk with you and talk with you about that, because that is a very painful, disillusioning kind of thing. But what makes me feel it's so tragic is not only for the victims of those kinds of abuses that get highlighted, but the way the witness to Christ is so undermined. That is absolutely not what Jesus is talking about here. It really does turn our culture off Christ when Christians act in so un-Christian-like ways. And maybe they get it in the neck because of it. That is not what Jesus is saying. What is he saying? The cause of persecution, we should expect a hard time for living the way Jesus lived. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And then, because I think this is such an important point, Jesus expands it a little bit more in verses 11 and 12. So again, run your eyes down to those verses. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So the opposition is because of Jesus, because Christians are standing with Jesus, and because of that, insults are coming, and persecution is coming, and false accusations are coming. What does Jesus say? Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You stand in line with a tradition of people who stood with Jesus and with God's ways and God's word and have taken it in the neck every time. So Jesus is talking about the kinds of persecution that come when we refuse to join in with the dirty joking in the locker room and the sports teammates just start cutting us out socially. Or we refuse to go on the initiations in Freshers' Week and get drunk with all the rest of the gang and start to feel a bit of a squeeze. Or when we refuse to play fast and loose with the work contract, maybe. And it means perhaps we lose customers or we don't get the best customers that we might get and job opportunities perhaps start being taken away from us. Or when we say Jesus is going to come first in all of my relationships and that means I'm not going to pursue someone who doesn't know Jesus. And even though I see all my friends coupling off, it feels like a death by a thousand paper cuts, I'm not going to go that way. And I could put names to all of those illustrations and I'm sure you could do as well. Suffering for standing with Jesus. This is the cause of persecution, according to Jesus. We should expect a hard time for living the way Jesus lived. Tertullian was a second century Christian leader, and he was once approached by a man who said, quote, "I have come to Christ, but I don't know what to do. I have a job that I don't think is consistent with what Scripture teaches. What can I do? I must live." To which Tertullian replied, "Must you?" For Tertullian, there was only one option. Obey and honour Christ. Survival is a secondary option. So again, I want to ask us to pause this point in the sermon and say, does this describe you? We should expect a hard time for following Jesus, for living the way Jesus lived. But maybe you're sitting here thinking, is that happening for me? I'm not sure it is happening for me. My life is very easy, very smooth. Are we standing out for him? But why would we do it? Why on earth would we do it? Why would we be prepared to face opposition and persecution for Jesus in our lives? Why would we do it? And that's our third point. We've seen the reality. We've seen the cause. And now the blessing. This is the beatitude bit of the beatitude. So verse 10 and point 3. The blessing of persecution. Enduring hard times for Jesus now is the path to future glory. Enduring hard times for Jesus now is the path to future glory. It seems almost upside down, doesn't it, if you think about it? Even putting those words, as I wrote it, the blessing of persecution. You think, what are you talking about? You think of Christians today in Nigeria losing loved ones, families, friends, pastors, colleagues. Really, that's a blessing? What does Jesus say? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' kingdom is an upside down kingdom. We often say that. The way up is the way down. The way to glory is via the cross. Enduring hard times for Jesus now is the pathway to future glory. We began, didn't we, by thinking about passports. And I think what Jesus is saying here is that to enter future glory, you need a passport for future glory. And in verse 3, the passport for future glory is to be poor in spirit. You need to be on your knees. You need to think, I can't bring anything to the party. I can't bring my deeds. I've done nothing good enough to earn and inherit heaven and to be given a passport for glory. Here, verse 10, the passport is being willing to be persecuted for righteousness. That's the passport to glory. And I wonder whether you've got it. You see, there's another kind of passport that you could have in your life. You could have the passport of this life. The passport for this world. And the passport that gets you places and access. And gets you the high fives and the back slaps of this world. Now, that's totally inoffensive. And it's a passport that looks out for number one. It's a passport that never stands out from the crowd, slips in, keeps its head down. I wonder, are you clinging tight to that passport? It's not impossible that you're thinking, I follow Jesus, but I'm really holding on to the passport for this world. This world. It can be a very easy thing to hold on to this passport for this life. Because right now, you won't find things hard. Right now. It seems fairly straightforward to glide through life least resistance, thank you so much. But as for getting you into the kingdom of God, that passport is not so useful. You might find yourself thinking, I've got the passport somewhere, and actually, a passport for this world is as much use as an out-of-date passport for France as far as getting into the next world, the kingdom of heaven, relationship with God, being with Jesus forevermore, where we worship him and we see him. And the one who has been our pride and joy, the one we've lived for and loved with all our being, now we get to see him. But if you don't have the passport that says, yeah, he's number one, well, you won't get there. Listen to American Don Carson as he reflects on this passage, quotes, just as a person must be poor in spirit to enter the kingdom, so will he or she be persecuted because of righteousness if someone is to enter the kingdom. The final beatitude becomes one of the most searching of them all and binds up the rest. For if the disciple of Jesus never experiences any persecution at all, it may be fairly asked where righteousness is being displayed in their life. And if there is no righteousness, no conformity to God's will, how shall they enter the kingdom of heaven? That is a challenging word. So again, can I ask you as we close, what kind of passport are you holding on to? We've seen the reality, the cause, the blessing of persecution. Followers of Jesus should expect a hard time. Are you in? That's on the ticket from day one. We should expect a hard time, not for being foolish, or for being selfish, or for being a hypocrite, but for living the way Jesus lived, transparently, godly, a life of purity, a life of righteousness, and enduring hard times for Jesus now is the path to future glory. Samuel Rutherford, the Scottish pastor in the 18th century, wrote from his prison cell, I never knew by my 9 years of preaching so much of Christ's love as he taught me in Aberdeen by 6 months' imprisonment. Christ's cross, he also said, is such a burden as sails are to a ship or wings to a bird. Really? Oh yes, you can take Jesus' word for it. For he said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's have a moment of quietness, and then I'll pray. I'm going to invite those who are serving the Lord's Supper to come and sit near the front, please. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for your word. We have acknowledged it's going to be a challenging word tonight, and this has been hard hitting. We thank you for your honesty, talking about what it would mean to follow you into eternity. And Lord, we love it when we read verses that talk about the blessings of knowing you and the happiness of following you. We find, we admit, the verses that say, it's a blessing to be persecuted for following you, to be falsely accused of things for following you, of being insulted for following you. They're much harder verses, but they're equally important, Lord. And so we do pray that you would help each one of us to be prepared to face whatever it costs to stand with Jesus in this world. Lord, we say, Lord, sorry for the times when we've softened what we might have said, or we've ducked down, or we've tried to blend in. We've tried to love the world as well as loving you. Lord God, help us to be prepared for the costly, gutsy, sacrificial death to self that following you needs. We thank you for the blessing that comes with that. For in that is life eternal. To die is to rise in you. So we pray, please help us to hold fast to you, to know your love as we suffer for you, and to give you the glory in all we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.